right. Well, today we want to remember tomorrow. Tomorrow, as you know, is Memorial Day. It is a day that is set aside for us to remember those who have given their lives in the service of our country for our freedoms. Sometimes we overlook it. Sometimes we think, hey, it's another day off of work. It's another reason to barbecue. It's another way to sleep in late, whatever it is. But let's not be like that. Tomorrow, I want you to think about the sacrifices that have been made from the Revolutionary War to today. We're remembering those who have given their lives. Either they were killed in battle, or they died because they were injured in battle, or they may be missing in action. So we want to remember those kind of people. And it reminds me of what Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. So we're going to talk in our sermon today about the obvious comparisons between soldiers who've laid down their lives and Jesus Christ. But let's make sure that we spend time remembering those who have lost their lives. I brought in today my dad's flag with his dog tags. My dad was captured, beaten, tortured, and developed a brain tumor, and ultimately died because of that brain tumor. So he is one of those people that I have a connection to Memorial Day that others don't. But what I want to do today in this congregation is recognize anyone, first of all, who's had a family member that has died because of military service. If you have, raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have active duty military service members now? And Wilma and JR aren't here, but let's remember their grandsons. And I want to offer a prayer for the families of those who've lost loved ones, for the families of those that have lost friends, and really for the ones that are still in service, because as you know, you never know what today brings. You never know what tomorrow brings when you're in the military. So let's pray specifically for them as part of our military Memorial Day honoring. Tomorrow, if you may not know this, but 3:00 is actually the official time when we're supposed to have a moment of silence or a moment of prayer for our fallen heroes. And that's what they are. Look, some of them were drafted, some of them ran in there voluntarily, but the point is that each one who died in all of these wars had something that they believed in enough to go fight. And it may have just been a sense of duty and honor, but that's enough, and that's what was driving them. There's a cartoon we tried to get to put up on the screen today, but the internet wasn't working. It's got a picture of a dad grilling and a little girl behind him, and she says, "Daddy, what's so special about Memorial Day?" And then it broadens out a little bit, and you see this whole deck that they're grilling on, and it's built, and the foundation is what? Tombstones. The foundation is a tombstone for the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, all the world wars that we've had. And he looks at it, he says, "Honey, you're standing on it right now." And it is the fact that those brave men and women were willing to give their lives so that we could be free. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray specifically for Memorial Day. Then we're going to go into our worship service with some more worship music. Just one song this morning, I think. Okay? But remember tomorrow. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to come before you. Lord, we come first with praise for what's happening with Amelia. That is just such great news. We thank you that Kenny and Deborah were able to experience it and able to come back and share that with us. And Lord, we lift up this morning Chad Coleman with the issues that he's still facing and the family issues that are going on. Lord, be with him and comfort him and comfort the family as they move forward. And Lord, as we turn to you this morning, we remember our fallen. We do not take them for granted. We thank you for their service. We thank you for their honor, for their duty, for them doing what they were called upon to do. On this Memorial Day, Lord, we pray for peace. We pray that you would keep all of our servicemen safe. And Lord, we thank you for the example that they've set for us. And we thank you most of all for the example that your Son, Jesus Christ, set for us when He gave His life for us. Lord, we thank You and praise You in all things. And again, we ask You to be with those who have lost family members because of wars and battles. Comfort them and just show Your glory to them. This we pray in Your Son's name. Amen. Well, if you look at your bulletin this morning, the thing that sticks out are the words, "We remember." And we need to remember, as we talked about earlier, we need to remember the sacrifice that these brave men and women made for our lives. And we need to remember also what God has done for us. It's interesting that the words remember, remembrance, or memorial are found over 230 times in the Bible. God wants us to remember, and He wants us to remember for a reason, and that's what we're going to talk about today. He told the Israelites in Deuteronomy 6:12, He said, "Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Beware lest you forget. And just so you know, when I walked in and saw what had been done up here, I don't know if you guys can see this, but this has a picture of a medal on it, and it says, "Lest we forget." So there's a warning in both of these, and they're both true. There's a danger in forgetting. There's a danger in not remembering what's happened before and in why it happened. God said in another situation in Isaiah 46, He says, "Remember the former things of old." There's no one like me. I'm God. I am God, and there's none like me. So God wants us to remember. And we need to think about this on Memorial Day as we think about how good we have it. We need to remember it wasn't always like this. And we need to remember what it took to get this freedom. We need to remember what the true cost of our freedom was. And it's those tombstones that were supporting that cartoon deck. It's the lives of the men and women that brought us the freedom we have to come and worship. It's the bravery of the men and women who fought in that first Revolutionary War, the War for Independence. One of the things they were fighting for, despite what history is trying to tell us now, is to found a country that was based on godly principles. George Washington said, "You cannot govern a country. You cannot have this kind of government without the Bible." People want to tell you they didn't think about God in founding this country. Wrong. Okay? And we'll talk about it on July 4th, but they almost could not create a constitution until Ben Franklin, the scientist Ben Franklin, said, "Guys, we're stuck. We got to do something different." And you know what his solution was to try and resolve the impasse? It wasn't to go have a drink somewhere. It was to go across the street to the church and pray. They went across the street. They'd been deadlocked for days. They went across the church and prayed. They came back, and in an hour, boom, the Constitution we still have today was done. God was at work in this country. God has been at work, and we are going to be in danger if we forget. We're going to be in danger if we forget what He's done, and we are going to be in danger if we forget what our soldiers have done. If we shirk away from the cost of freedom, we're going to be in big trouble. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there's an obvious analogy between what Jesus did on the cross and what these soldiers did. These soldiers, men and women, gave their lives so that we could be free. That's what Jesus did. So we're going to today, we're going to compare, and that may not be the right word, we're going to talk about the similarities between the sacrifices that Jesus made and these soldiers have made. And we're going to really do that based on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. So as you're standing up, and we're going to read this, God gives us examples. God gives us examples in the Bible, And God gives us examples in real life of heroes, people who do the right thing, people who are follow honor, people who honor God. And He gives us a pattern, as it were, to remember. I don't know about you guys. Anybody having trouble remembering as you get older? I got Post-it notes everywhere. I have a Post-it note probably that says, hey, remember to look at your Post-it notes. God gives us a formula in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. So let's look at this. He says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You may be seated. So this gives us five factors that I want to talk about in how to remember, what to do to remember. And the obvious thing is we can't just go through life willy-nilly. We have to actually work to remember, right? Y'all think memories work? I do. Didn't used to, okay? But it is work. And we need to understand what we need to do so that we don't forget. There's a saying that kind of goes along with not only the first scripture we read, but goes along with society in general. Those who don't remember the past are, y'all know how it's finished, doomed to repeat it. That's a pretty bad warning too. So what we want to do is we want to break down these verses and talk about how to remember. And there's five simple concepts. Number one, we have to look back. Look back. That's the first blank if you're keeping up with your outline. And you say, well, that one's pretty obvious because we're trying to remember things, but we're going to look back. My question to you, you say, well, that's obvious. Do you really think people do that today? Let me take you back to something that happened. It was actually in New York, not Washington, D.C., but there was a big civil insurrection. It was awful. You had people rebelling against the government. There were shots fired even. People died. You know when that happened? 1771. It also happened January 6th of this year. People don't look back and remember what battles are for. We have to go back. We have to look back and see why things happen. We have to look back and understand history. We need to look back and understand where we're coming from. Remember, we've talked the past couple of weeks about looking back and saying to God, thank you that I'm not there anymore. Thank you that I have changed from that sinful life that I had and that you've brought me to a different world. But if we don't look back and we don't understand the truth of what's happening in our world and in our life, in our church and in our spiritual life, we're not going to remember to do the right things. Does that make sense? We have to look back. We have to see what God's done. Verse 1 says that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, these witnesses we're going to see are there to help us run this race. What if we never look back at the lives of these witnesses? What if we never look back and see what they've done? Do we get any benefit from it? No, we don't. So that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to look back, and let's just look back at chapter 11, the faith heroes verse, or chapter. Some people call it the heroes of faith, the hall of fame. But I want you to see something that is, it is characteristic of heroes of faith, and it's characteristic of Jesus Christ. This is one of those similarities. We're going to see that as these heroes of faith lived their lives, they were men and women of action. They didn't just sit on their hands and talk about what needed to be done. They didn't sit on their hands and say, oh gosh, I'm worried that this is going to happen. They took action. That's the same thing that happened with our men and women of the military. They took action. I know my dad joined because he was worried about what was going to happen to his country and his children, who he didn't have yet. All right? That they were motivated because they knew action was required. Words were not going to be good enough. Let's look at these heroes of faith and think about what they did. So I'm back in chapter 11. I'm just going to mention some verses and talk through them. And I want you to see the action words here. We may have done this exercise once before, but this is so important for today. Chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. He offered. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. You see the action going on? Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place. Verse 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Verse 21, by faith when he was dying, Jacob blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. And I could go on and on. Every one of the heroes of faith in that chapter were men and women of action. They knew it was going to take action to get done with what they needed to get done. And that's the same way with the military folks that we are remembering today. They didn't sit, they fought. First of all, they either joined up or they were drafted and they went. They went through their training, they went to war, and they fought. Okay, that's action. So as we look back at this great cloud of witnesses that God's telling us about, and we look back at the military heroes that we've had in this country, each and every one of them, what do we see? They got up, they stood for what they believed in, and they took action. Here's the real danger. The danger that we face today is thinking that we don't need to act, or thinking that somebody else is going to do it for us. And that's, we see from history, one of the worst false beliefs you can ever have. What is it? All that is necessary for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. All right? So we look back, first of all. We look back to see what life was like. We look back at these heroes of faith. Look back at people who were instrumental in your life, not just military folks, but why were they training you to do the right thing? Why were they exposing you to the gospel? Why are they teaching you to treat authority with respect? Why are they teaching you the proper way to live your life? It's because there is a right way to do things. And that's what those heroes of faith, that's what chapter 12 is there for, chapter 11 is there for, teaching us to live the right way. Verse 2 gives us the next point. We need to not only look back, but we need to look inside. Verse 2 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's actually the rest of verse 1. So all verse 1 says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us. All right, so we need to look inside. That's a sin thing. As we look inside, we see sin and it's a weight, right? We've been talking for 2 weeks about how to deal with sin. How many think that a soldier preparing for battle, knowing he's going to face battle today, is going to put in 200 extra pounds of stuff in his backpack? Not going to happen. What about a boxer even who's going into a boxing ring? Is he going to put 50-pound weights in his gloves? Not unless he wants to cheat. But if he's really going to fight, is he going to do that? No. Why not? Because it slows you down. It weighs you down. How many of you guys in high school, this may be kind of telling of age, used to use ankle weights? Nobody? Mark? Okay, a couple of it. Do anybody know what ankle weights are? I asked Isaiah last night, do you have ankle weights? And he looked at me weird. I said, it's going to be for a lesson. What we used to do with those ankle weights, if you remember, you'd strap them on your ankles, then you'd go jog, or you'd go push weights, or you'd do whatever. And the idea was that if you could do it with that extra weight, you were training. So when you took those weights off, woo, I'm free. I'm much faster than I used to be, you know. I'm much stronger because I can move without those weights. We need to understand that sin handicaps us. Sin slows us down. It hinders us. It hinders us from living the kind of life that God wants us to live. So when we remember to look inside, let me ask you this about those soldiers. Do you think that those soldiers had no care about what was going on back in at their house? No, they did. We've got letters from my dad. We just recently got him. He was in D-Day. There's a letter. Of course, it was crafted by the government, but he got to write one sentence at the bottom about what was really going on. But you can feel, because he was writing to his sister at that time, and he was worried about her. Those soldiers knew. They had weight. They had baggage. They had kids back at home. They had spouses back at home. They had lives back at home. They had jobs back at home. But do you think that's what they were thinking about when they were in the battle? No. They had to look inside and they had to say something like, is it worth it for me to go to this battle? Is it worth the risk? Is it worth the cost? And they decided yes. So just like them, we have to look inside and we have to say, why am I doing things? Why am I acting this way? Why am I thinking about doing this? And here's one verse that you could always go back to, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, get that, whatever you do, do all unto the glory of God. So my motivation should be the glory of God in doing everything. You know, I don't know exactly what motivated those soldiers, but it was something inside. I don't know if it was love of country, love of God. For some, it was revenge. For some, it was just concern. For some, it was, hey, I'm going to honor my duty for the draft. But there was something inside that drove every single one of them to get out of those cots and get on that battlefield. It's the same thing that should drive us. Something inside, the thought of what God has done for us and wanting to bring Him glory should motivate us in every single thing we do. And we need to remember that as we act. Okay? So the pattern so far from Hebrews is you got to look back. You got to remember. You got to look back. You got to look inside. And the third one is you got to look to the future. You say, well, wait a minute, I thought we were talking about memories. We are. But why do you think God put memory in our heads? Why do you think He thinks remembering is so important? It's because of the lessons we learn that we apply to the future. You know, we can look at Scripture. Jesus, when He established the Last Supper, He said, take, eat of this. This is My body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. So He's telling them, in the future, you're going to do something, and I want you to remember why you're doing it, because it will guide you in the future. In verse 2, well, this is still the rest of verse 1. it says, let us run with endurance the race that is before us. So he's telling us why we need to look at this great cloud of witnesses and why we need to look inside and deal with the sin. It's because we're in a race. Let me give you a real simple example. That the future dictates something about your memory. How many of you guys have ever been to an amusement park or somewhere where you've had to rent a locker? All right, a couple of you. So you get this combination, right? You go, you look at your slip, you open the locker, close it, boom. When you walk out of that, you come back later that day, you get your stuff and you're gone. How many remember the combination a week later? No, not me. Now let me ask you this. How many of you have passwords set on your computer? How many of you have had those passwords on that computer longer than 90 days like you should have? Yeah, everyone. Okay, here's the point. You know when you create a password that you're going to need it in the future. So what do you have to do with that password? You've got to remember the password. Or you have to remember where you put the sheet that has it written down. Okay, but you've got to remember something about that password. Unlike the password to get into that lock. So we always have to think about why it is we're doing things. We always need to look at the future and think, why? You know, I mentioned soldiers looked at the future all the time. What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my country? What's going to happen to my wife? What's going to happen to my house? What's going to happen to this? They thought about the future as they decided to act, and it's part of remembering. Because if we don't understand the importance of what is going on and what's going to happen in the future, the past is not going to make any difference. And, you know, back to that saying, you sit around today and you listen to people. There's something Penny listens to on the radio or TV where they go out and they interview millennials and they ask them questions like, who was the War of Independence between? They don't know. Who's president? Most of them don't know that. It's scary. And you know what? If we don't start remembering the past teaches you patterns, doesn't it? I mean, if I'm walking down the aisle and I've slipped on that banana peel 10 times and that banana peel is in the aisle again, what am I going to do? Oops, here I go again? I would hope not. I would hope I would step over the banana peel or pick it up or something like that. We learn from the past, but we have to put it in the context of the future. So we got to look back. We got to look inside. We got to look forward, and we need to look down. Now, for soldiers, that one's pretty obvious. You're looking for landmines, tripwires, all kinds of things. Why do we look down as Christians? We need to look down as Christians to be humble, to remember why we are able to exercise the freedom that we have, why we are able to come here and not only worship God but celebrate our military heroes. We need to remember Christ's sacrifice. We need to remember what He did on the cross and the shame that He endured. When you think about the shame that Christ endured, the humiliation, just in that 1 hour time frame, walking from His sentencing up to Golgotha, He was spit on, He was ridiculed, He was made fun of. Just take that 1 hour, forget the rest of His life. That ought to make our head just hang with shame, right? We don't have shame much in this country anymore. You know, it takes a lot to make somebody blush today, but we need shame. It's good. Because shame, particularly when we look at the life of Christ, directs us to His blood. Because when we look down, we ought to look at His blood. We ought to see the only reason we're free, the only reason we're free, is because of His sacrifice. So we're going to look back, we're going to look inside, we're going to look forward, we're going to look down, and lastly, this comes maybe from really verse 2 this time, let's say, looking unto Jesus. Yes, we're going to look up. We're going to look up to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith, as this verse says. He's the one who's going to be with us as we run this race. He is in charge of everything. Let me read you Colossians 1, verses 16 to 17. For by Him, referring to Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things. And get this last part, and in Him all things consist. And your version may say, and He sustains all things. Christ created it all. Christ is holding it all in His hand. So we look up, we need to understand that Jesus is holding it all together. He's in charge. He's got all authority and power. And think of what He's promised us. He's promised us that every single thing that happens to a child of His is going to work out for the good of that child. Boy, that's hard to believe, isn't it, sometimes when you're going through trouble? So that's why we need to remember. We need to remember that scripture. He says, look, remember what I've told you. Psalm 119, 105 says, my word is a lamp unto your feet. All right? He says, look, I'm going to give you light. I'm going to give you direction. You just got to remember to look in the Word. And that lamp, I wish it was that big beacon searchlight, but it's just enough to show you where the next couple of steps are. Now, sometimes you wish, I do, Jesus would give us the entire plan instead of just, hey, you do these next two steps and I'll give you the rest of the plan. I'd like to see the whole thing unfold. He doesn't work that way. He wants obedience and faith in each step. And as we do that, He will reward us. So that's how we remember. We look back. We look back to see what God has done. We look back to see what our heroes have done. And they need to be real heroes. They could be heroes of the Bible. We can look back at the sacrifices of the military. We look inside us. We deal with the sin problem. We recognize that they were all dealing with something going on inside of them. We look to the future because we know that they were thinking about the future, and we know God is thinking about the future. He wants us to think about the future and act like we should. We look down and then we look up to see Jesus. What's the one direction that I didn't say we should look? We don't look around. So here's the scene in battle. Our front is here. Coming from the west is the enemy. Which way are our soldiers going to be looking? They're going to be looking to the west. They're not going to be looking back to the east or to the south or to the north. They're going to be focused on where the enemy is. They're going to be focused on dealing with what they need to be dealing with. In our world, what does that mean? We need to be focused on Jesus. If we get our eyes off of Jesus by looking around, we get in trouble. You know, Peter gets a bad rap for this lack of faith, but you know, he's in the boat and they see Jesus walking, and Peter's the only one that says anything. Peter says, Lord, if it be you, bid me come. Okay, so Jesus says, come. Peter jumps out of the boat. How many would have done that, first of all, in a raging storm? I don't know. Would like to have tried it, but I don't know, to be honest. And he's walking on water. You guys get this? Peter, a man, is jumping out of the boat and he's walking on water. And then, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, help me, Lord. He looked at the wind, took his eyes off of Jesus, and started to sink. So as we decide to act, as we remember how to act, And as we evaluate what's important through our memory, through remembering what God has said, through remembering these heroes that God has put in our path, we need to not be thinking about the world really around us. What are they going to think? What if I take a position that's unpopular? Right? What's more important, to act the way God wants us to be or to be popular? Yeah. And that one's pretty easy, right? God wants us to do certain things. He's given us His Word. So that's why we don't look around. We look back. We look inside. We look forward. We look down. And most of all, we look up. That is a simple formula to remember how to remember, because it gets all of those points together. Why are we remembering for the future? What do we need to remember? That's the past. Why do we need to remember? That's God. It's all there. And if you can't remember that, print that verse out, put it on your fridge, and see it every day. It will help you remember. But that's the way we need to act. We need to do that in following God, and we need to do that tomorrow as we remember the men and women who have fallen in service. They went through this whole process. Many of them were Christians, some weren't. But they all had to remember what they were there for. And they had to decide to act because they decided it was important enough for them to do what they were doing that it was worth risking their lives. Jesus Christ, before the earth was founded, decided that we were so important to Him that it was worth Him coming to earth to die. Let me rephrase that. Jesus Christ decided before the foundation of the earth that you, point your finger at yourself, were important enough for Him to come to die. And that memory on our part should make us want to honor Him even more, and everything we do should be for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for those brave men and women who died to bring our freedom to us, from the Revolutionary War all the way up to today. Lord, we thank You for their sacrifices. We thank You for enabling them to make those sacrifices. May we never forget that the past is important, and never forget the lessons that are there. Lord, You put them in our past for a reason. Lord, You're calling us to action. You're calling us to represent You. You're calling us to defend the faith, to contend earnestly for the faith, to live out the faith. Lord, this is going to be a battle. And Lord, we pray that we're always prepared for that battle. Lord, we pray that You would keep in our memory the reasons why we act, the sacrifice that Your Son made for us so that we could be totally free. Lord, we know there's not a thing in the world our enemies can do to us that's going to ultimately hurt us, because even if we die, we're with You. Lord, we just thank You so much for that assurance. We thank You for the peace that that brings. And Lord, as we walk out the doors today, and I pray until the day that we leave this earth, we remember You in all things. We remember Your love, Your glory, and most of all, Your Son Jesus, so that we may live the way that You want us to live and bring glory to You. This we pray in Your Son's name. Amen.